Well, Jeepers Creepers, it's the last day of September, and it is Monday. What does that mean? Well, actually, we oftentimes rebroadcast the show throughout the week, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon, and other times, just because it's so entertaining, thought-provoking, and controversial at times, and I must only be speaking about a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, because what other program could be so brain-stimulating, otherwise appealing, and occasionally annoying, because we talk about current events and politics, and I do have to make sure the Russians approve of what we're going to talk about today, but they sort of do, because I have a lot of Russian in my ancestry, and so since I have enough Russian to call myself Russian on my dad's side of the family, I approve of the show, so onward and upward. My guest today, as we normally have on this Monday morning, is Dr. Ronald L. Fineman from Boca Raton in Florida. Ron, just let you know again, since I am approximately about a half Russian on my dad's side of the family, I do approve of the program, so we will continue. Because apparently being
approved... Well, I'm part Russian or Ukrainian. I think actually my son David showed that we're really more from Ukraine, but maybe part of Russia at the time when the grandparents came over. But Ukrainian or Russian, yes, definitely I have that background.
Okay, so we both have Russian approval of this program. Is that something that's going to happen in the future, Ron? Do the Russians or some other Eastern European country have to approve of anything that is done in the United States? Or can we kind of be independent and do what we feel like doing? What's the future of this interference from Eastern Europe? Because that's been the biggest news story of the last week or so.
I don't know what it is, but certainly this story about Trump with Ukraine has really stirred up the impeachment move. It's startling how fast it's rapidly gone to more than 218 members of the House, including one independent, Justin Amash, who was a Republican but left the party and is now running for re-election. He and, I guess, 217 Democrats have already said they are back in the idea of impeachment, although they have to still figure out what issues are going to bring up for impeachment. Yeah.
Well, the first time you appeared on this radio station, Ron, you spoke with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears.
Absolutely, great guy.
And the topic was an article that you wrote that kind of went viral, and that you didn't think the Trump presidency would last. Now we're kind of revisiting the same thing. He's more than two-thirds past his term, but once again, we're wondering, is Donald Trump going to serve the entire 4 years? Would he actually get impeached? Now, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a divisive character herself, just like Donald, those two really don't particularly care for each other, but that wouldn't be too surprising. She's ready to start impeachment proceedings. Now, we've talked about the divisiveness in the parties, what needs to be done to get a president impeached. And twice we've had impeachments, but they didn't get followed through. And we had Nixon, who would have been impeached, but he resigned. Now we have a case where the evidence certainly is overwhelming that Donald Trump has done things that would appear to be impeachable. We've talked about what I call the emoluments clause, really the emoluments clause, which I take very seriously because you can't really have conflicts of interest. And again, this comes from me, someone who likes many things about Donald Trump, including the fact that he stimulates people's interest in this country. He is controversial and he's a bit of a, well, again, that word starts with an A and the second syllable is whole, because I think we sometimes have issues with presidents and politicians who are just too nice. And Donald Trump, well, you know, I think man to man, he's not a bad guy. But as a leader, he certainly can, tick some people off, out of lack of a better way to say it. But the conflicts of interest and these very possible treasonous acts, those are very serious and not really something to joke about.
Are.
And those are grounds for impeachment. So we ask you again, Ron, just like Scott asked you, 104 broadcast appearances ago, will the Donald Trump presidency last until 11:59 and 59 seconds a.m. January 20th of 2021? Or will he get impeached? Will he be like Nixon and pretty much be forced to resign? What is going to happen? Can you look into your crystal ball, or are we still not really sure at this point?
Well, I think he will be impeached. It's clear that he will be impeached. But again, impeachment does not mean guilt. It does not mean conviction. It's an equivalent of an indictment. And then the trial was held in the Senate, and you got to get a two-thirds vote, and we couldn't get that for Andrew Johnson to remove him, or Bill Clinton. Now, Richard Nixon, the party abandoned him, and Barry Goldwater, Senator Goldwater, and Congressman John Rhodes, and Senator Hugh Scott went to the White House in August 74 and told Nixon that there's no way we could back you, and if we get 15 votes, that'll be it. Basically saying, you're going to get a two-thirds vote against you. So when he realized that, he decided to resign. Now, I've heard that 30 Republican senators privately have said, if we didn't have to give our names and we just could vote him out, we would vote him out, but we're not going to do that. So they have no guts, no courage, no cojones. So I don't think it's going to happen that, you know, that he would be forced out, you know, as far as by a threat of being removed. However, he does not look healthy. He looks really bad lately, I think, when you watch him. And I think his health is worse, and who knows how whether he'll be able to make it health-wise. It's possible he could resign, but I think he'd only resign if he had a guarantee of not being prosecuted if Mike Pence gave him a pardon. That's the only way I can see him leaving, other than if he passed away, of course.
So we're still not really sure what's going to happen. And we've had...
And he could win re-election under the possible scenario, which is insane, but he actually could if he wins about 42% of the vote and wins it in the right places, as they say. He could go ahead and lose the popular vote by a bigger margin and still get another term. It's actually possible.
I mean, as I see with the election, Ron, there is so much disagreement among who is the best Democratic candidate, and every week is a different leader. Apparently now the leader is Pocahontas, as we affectionately call her. Elizabeth, Mayor Pete certainly is a bit of a dark horse, but...
Yes, I think he's someone to watch. He's the alternative moderate.
Don't let him fool you. He has good fundraising, very loyal supporters, and he could almost be a candidate people would support because they just don't like the others, or they feel that Joe is just too old, or Elizabeth, not just too liberal, but... kind of a loudmouth. Sanders certainly has.
I have a friend who said, why not a Biden and Warren ticket? And I said, that's too old, 78 and 71 of the inauguration. But his argument is, let's say Joe can't do the job or something happens to him. Warren is still young enough and vigorous enough, although over 70, that she could do the job. So maybe that would be the best combination. But I don't think that's a good idea. You're going to have Joe or even, let's say, Bernie, just saying, I don't want him and you don't. We need someone a lot younger, not someone who's also in the same decade.
Yeah, we talked about Elizabeth as a young 70. Biden, I think he pretty much shows his age. Now he's healthy. He looks healthy, just looks old. And he does have these slip-ups, but he's kind of been that way for a while, including the stuttering, which has been an ongoing issue.
Yeah, he had that when he was a kid, and it's starting to show up, and it's not good.
Warren, she is outspoken. I mean, very smart. It's just, she runs her mouth, and you kind of wonder, is this someone who should be in the Oval Office? Of course, we say the same thing about Trump. It's almost a case where, is Elizabeth Warren a female liberal version of Donald Trump? And really, in many ways, she is. There are kind of similarities in that regard.
Yeah.
In terms of
working class men voting for a woman professor, I think that's a problem.
In terms of qualification,
I don't know if any woman would, even Amy Klobuchar. Maybe we need a man, even though it'd be nice to have a woman. I don't know if the working class men would vote for a woman. I don't know.
Warren has the political experience. Donald Trump had the business experience. So, you know, the politics making strange bedfellows. We see things that people have in common. And would Warren be the loudmouth, the controversial, sometimes extreme figure that Trump is, but on the other side, liberal and by many people's accounts too liberal? Who knows?
I wish Amy Klobuchar could start rising, but she's not going anywhere right now. Only Pete seems to be a really good alternative for a moderate
at the moment. I think you would agree, Ron, when you have dissent in the Democratic Party, no clear winner. Every week I see it's a different leader. It looks like Warren's a leader now, and she is too liberal for a lot of people. I mean, I'd have to decide, would I want someone like that in the White House? Yes, there are things I like about her, but she is way too liberal. Now, granted, she isn't the what I call near-communist that Bernie is. She is a Democrat. She is a capitalist, just a very liberal one. And that's where I see the difference. I don't accuse her of wanting to turn this into the People's Republic of the United States like I do very very blatantly, very, very undoubtedly accused Sanders of. And listeners, if you don't like that, I'm sorry. That's how I feel. I don't see that with Warren, which is good. Again, many liberal policies I like, but the economic her economic ideas or immigration ideas, I kind of wonder about her. But I do think she would moderate if she were president. I just don't see her being able to beat Trump. Honestly, I don't think anybody could beat Trump except Biden. Biden being an old reliable someone.
Yeah, well, maybe, but maybe happy. You know, you never know with Pete. Pete's a possible dark horse, we would say, but it depends.
I don't.
But I
got to
say, Harris has really slipped, and Booker is asking for money, or he's going to have to drop out. So both the people who are African American heritage are in real trouble right now.
I don't see anybody other than Biden being able to beat Trump, and with this dissent, this divisiveness in the Democratic Party, that looks very good for Trump. And now we have this curve being thrown about the interference from the Eastern European countries. So the plot thickens. Someone's going to come out.
And the accusation that Joe and his son are corrupt, but there's no evidence of that. But that's what I think he's trying to promote, that agenda of Trump, that Joe Biden and Hunter are corrupt. But if anything, look at his own son-in-law and his own son and his own daughter.
Yeah,
and of course, he never looks. He never looks at himself.
I guess that's what's called calling the pot calling the kettle black is what that appears to be.
It's what we call projection psychologically. Everything that you see about yourself, you accuse somebody else of. He does that all the time.
Well, as we talk about, Ron, and we both agree, Donald Trump has stimulated people all ages and backgrounds, interest in this great country. And to me, mm-hmm. that is a good thing, because we should appreciate where we live, appreciate our heritage, and learn about place we pay taxes to, the place that we hang our hat in, the United States of America. And even if you don't like the president, he certainly has encouraged people's interest. And maybe he's doing it in a way that is detrimental in other regards. But
yes, I think
will certainly say I find myself reading CNN and other news outlets much more often, learning about history and wanting to know what's going on here. What's going to happen next? Because every time I get up, it seems like I read some news headline, and there's yet another surprise. Sometimes I'm not sure whether to laugh or to cry or to just...
A bit of both, yeah. Because he is funny at times, Trump. But then I'm saying, why am I laughing? Because it's so ridiculous. Like he made a comment this week when he was at the UN about the Egyptian leader Assisi, and he said, where's my favorite dictator? Can you imagine a president saying something like that?
Well, when you've not held political office before, you're not going to be the gentleman that Obama and the Bushes and others are. And, love him or hate him, he does kind of run his mouth, and you can giggle.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff isn't funny. And
yeah, when he was running, he had some person who was African-American, and he said, when he made a comment to the crowd, there's my favorite African-American. Who says something like that? And now that favorite African-American has turned against him and says he won't support Trump this time.
Well, you're my favorite presidentologist. Well, you and Mike Purdy. I mean, he's a pretty close second. So I can have favorite people also. Now, Ron is the author of the blog, which he's been writing for over 11 years, called theprogressiveprofessor.com. We encourage you to read that. Some of the postings are to the left. Again, Ron is not an extreme left person like Elizabeth Warren or... Again, Bernie Sanders, more of a Joe Biden, a Joe Biden type of liberal or Democrat. Some of the posts are just presidential history, not really ones that take a slant either way. So we do encourage you to read it, respond, email Ron. He loves to get emails and find out what people have to think. Now, last Friday, you wrote...
And also, my History News Network, I just want to mention that, to also look at that. I have my blog on there, too, under my name. Yes.
Last Friday... Ron wrote, Donald Trump has committed treason and has taken Mike Pence, William Barr, Mike Pompeo, Mick Mulvaney, and one of my favorite people, Rudy Giuliani, down with him.
Oh, my, is he a wacko, Giuliani?
Well,
yeah.
I liked him when he was mayor of New York. He cleaned the city up.
Down,
crime
like
went down. He handled 9/11, but it seems like he's a bit like Ben Carson. I mean, he was a great person at one time, but the Rudy we're getting today is not the Rudy we got 25 years ago. And again, just like Ben Carson, he was a brain surgeon, but I think his days of being a brilliant doctor are over, and it's kind of a shame, but that happens.
He's not much of a housing and urban development secretary either now.
The Ukraine scandal, you're right, is rapidly becoming the most significant scandal since Watergate under Tricky Dicky. President Richard E. Well, Archie Bunker calls him Richard E. Nixon, so but it's actually Richard M. Nixon 45 years ago. So
yeah.
When people read history books, you know, 20, 30 years, will this be considered, of course, we don't know the outcome, but will this be considered a bigger historical event, a bigger scandal than Watergate? Is this just blowing
I think so. I really do think so. And again, I always say with Nixon, in my mind, he had some real accomplishments, things that were good. I personally, I know others don't agree, do not see anything positive coming out of Trump, other than the economy doing well. But I'm talking about as far as policies on any other issue, I don't see it. But and he's trying to destroy a lot of what Nixon did with the EPA, with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, things like that. So I think Nixon, I think the scandal was terrible, but this has outdone it.
But we would agree the economy is good, and that is an accomplishment. Now, whether he's riding on Obama's coattails, that's a matter of opinion. I would say he only partially is. I do believe Trump, as a businessman, is responsible for the good economy, which I like. However, he's also responsible for things that I don't like these scandals, like other countries laughing at the United States, which we want to think we're people are proud that they like the country, but we have other countries laughing at us, and maybe they're just jealous because it is kind of an amusing state of affairs right now, or maybe they're laughing because they can't believe we have Donald Trump in the White House. I'm not really sure. Sometimes I'm not sure whether to laugh, whether to cry, or whether to just sit there and say, well, that's how things go. At least I'm glad gas prices are okay, that the interest rates are down, the economy is okay, but we got some serious problems that will need to be addressed. Certainly, again, with Donald Trump, every day is a bit of a surprise.
And I want to point out the tariffs that he's imposed on China and elsewhere could and is believed will lead to a downturn in the economy, which already is the longest expansion in history. So it's got to go down at some point, but the tariffs may accelerate the downturn.
A couple other topics. We talked about Donald Trump, who, again, man to man, I'm sure he's not a bad guy. But as a ruler, he does seem to be a bit of an unpleasant, unlikable person. Tomorrow, a president who was probably known as the other extreme, he was too nice, a bit of a weak leader, and again, a victim of circumstance, a victim of a very bad economy. People who are under about 30 might find it hard to believe that we once had interest rates in the upper teens, lines at the gas station, inflation 15-20%, nothing like the economy that we have now. Interest rates didn't go down a quarter of a point twice in a year. They went up seemingly every day. And that was under the Jimmy Carter administration. Carter was considered, by some people, a weak leader, by some people, underrated, a victim of circumstance. And Carter has also become the longest-lived former president. He hasn't been president since January 20th of 1981, almost 40 years ago.
39 years, and Walter Mondale is still alive also. So he's going to be 95 tomorrow, and Walter Mondale in January will be 92, and Mrs. Carter is 92. It's an amazing to have a team 39 years later, his wife and also his running mate, all still alive and kicking.
I mean, I remember watching the election. My mom, I would say, more of a Republican than my father, me, kind of being independent like I've always been. She definitely didn't like Carter, but I do mention my mom thought anybody with a Southern accent was a hick. Ironically, our two of our most intelligent presidents in our lifetime, Carter and Clinton, are Southern with Southern accents, and they're considered to be two of the highest IQ presidents. So there goes there goes that theory. But she didn't like Carter. I remember when Carter won, she said, President Carter, that would just not really sound very classy. It's like for some reason the name Carter didn't seem like a presidential name, which I thought was kind of stupid. But my mom was kind of like that. And, you got to love her. May she rest in peace. But she liked Ford. Both parents liked Nixon. I wasn't pleased about Watergate, but I felt, always being someone who's an environmentalist, again, not a Green New Deal radical environmentalist, a practical environmentalist.
Carter was a great environmental president, yes.
Tricky Dicky started the EPA and certainly cared about our great country, about our land. He was a foreign policy wizard, but he didn't really keep his nose clean, and that, of course, was his downfall. And then with Ford, kind of taking the brunt of those problems, kind of being in a position where the right thing to do was to pardon Nixon, again, as we've talked about before, Carter ended up winning, and he was certainly a change from the Nixon or Ford presidencies. And then, of course, Reagan came along, also a very different president from not just Nixon, but obviously Carter. But tomorrow, Jimmy Carter, 95 years old. So, Jimmy, if you're listening,
wonderful,
because Jimmy probably listens to the radio. He still teaches Sunday school. He still builds houses for Habitat for Humanity. 95 years old. If you're listening, Jimmy, happy birthday, and may you have 95 more. And knowing Jimmy Carter, Ron, I wouldn't be surprised if he does. The man appears to be ageless.
I hope he makes 100. And meanwhile, he and his wife's marriage on the 17th of October will pass the bushes. So that's just another 2 weeks from now. So that's another thing to celebrate. And I wanted to mention I'm publishing an article that's being held to after the point of the marriage being the longest and him being 95, an article which we could talk about later in the month, comparing Carter to Trump. 20 things about Carter against Trump that make Carter look better, even though he's not one of the top 10 presidents, but 20 points I make that make him look better than Trump. So it'll be an interesting thing when it comes out, and we can discuss it at the end of the month.
Well, that would be an intriguing comparison, but do we want a president who's too nice? And that's a bit of a problem with Biden. Biden's a nice guy, but I don't think he's quite as nice as Carter. I mean, as a man, he's nice, but I think as a leader, he would put his foot down if he has to. And
yes.
Trump, you know, is he just too much of a, well, again, word I can't say on the radio, but you can figure it out. Who knows? That can be an attractive quality. We've talked about baseball managers, Sparky Anderson. I mean, as a man, yeah, he was very nice. He was laid back. But as a manager, he was considered by some people almost to be a dictator. Captain Hook, when it came to changing pitchers. Maybe you need to be that way. I don't know. I don't think I'm people smart enough to judge. Maybe we need someone who's a little bit of both. Maybe we'll find that person. We have Jewish holidays coming up, and you wrote about American Jewish Alliance with Democrats back last Thursday continues to grow in age of Donald Trump. Now, it's pretty well known that most Jewish people in the United States, especially the Reform Jews, the more liberal Jews, are Democrat. 25 to 30% of the Jewish population, you write, are Republican. You write, the American Jewish community continues in 2019 a strong alliance with the Democratic Party, even in the age of Donald Trump. This is due to the social justice beliefs of two-thirds or more of the Jewish community, as Jews recall the prejudices and discrimination visited upon their earlier generations in America. Do you think the Trump administration, and we touched on this a couple times, Ron, will cause that number to go higher, that the number of Jewish people who are Democrats or maybe Democrat-leaning independents, will that get even higher as Trump soured the relationship with Jewish people, or will it not really matter?
Well, in 2018, in the midterm election, 79%, but higher than average amount, of the Jewish community supported Democratic candidates for Congress. So I would think it's going to probably reach 80% and maybe more. It might be higher than almost ever before. There are Jewish people who back him, but they're usually Orthodox Jews who are very religious, or extremely, not all, but some very wealthy Jews, like in Boca Raton, in the gated GATED communities, definitely are Republicans. I know that. And you can see them at the local Publix, and they have their nose in the air, if you know what I'm trying to say. They think they're special because they have money. I can't stand that. But so there are some, but I think it's very likely it's going to be close to 80%, maybe even more, that will vote, you know, for, I think, the Democratic nominee.
But it is established, Ron, that groups of people that have historically suffered discrimination, and three groups that come to mind, Jewish people, black people, gay people, and we could add people of Latino origin also.
Yes.
Most of them are Democrats. And
mostly, yes.
Is that kind of a shame? Because Lincoln was a Republican. Lincoln, I mean, if there was anybody who was not in favor of discrimination, it was Lincoln. But as we've talked about, that's not the same Republican Party, which counts as its members Mike Pence, Jim Jordan, Donald Trump, etc.
It's not Teddy Roosevelt's party either, I want to point out.
Do you think that will change, that for the next couple generations we're going to have, you know, three quarters or more of the people in the aforementioned four minorities
I would think it's not going to change very much to go toward the Republicans unless the Republicans change their whole way of looking at groups of people. But I don't see that happening. I really don't. I think that's a shame. And I want to point out that I wrote an article this past week about Latinos are the future Democratic base in Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas. And if it really gets that way, that he continues, Trump, his war, in quotes, on people of Hispanic ancestry, those states which are red but are starting to become maybe toward purple will turn blue. And once that happens, particularly with Texas, the Electoral College is won for the Democrats forever, you know, because that's got the second highest number of electoral votes. So it's a stupid attitude, and it showed itself in California when they passed legislation against undocumented immigrants, and suddenly the Republican Party dissolved in California. They only have 7 members in the House now. They used to have so many more. So, I mean, I think it's bad news for the Republicans with what they're doing.
Isn't that kind of upsetting that the Republican Party is considered one that's discriminatory, that doesn't support equal rights? It's like, and to me, it's, well, again, as an independent,
that's their image now.
It's, I mean, yes, I'm a fiscal conservative, but I don't want to be a Republican because that would imply that I don't believe in equal rights. I don't believe that, yeah, that black people or Jewish people are as good as people that are WASP or not a minority. And that's,
yes,
that's a
big problem. And I hope after Trump they can revert back, but it may be too late. I'm writing an article that's coming out in the next day or so on the Republican Party, how it's really no longer the party we think of what it once was. You know, basically what we've been just talking about, it's really a mess. It has a very poor future, I think, with the image it has now.
So that's certainly a problem. Again, that's the party of Lincoln.
Yes.
And,
but the Democrats have a problem because, then, as Will Rogers said in the 1920s, they're not an organized political party. They're always fighting each other, and they seem to have troubles getting together. Republicans are more you know, structured in the sense,
yeah,
of being disciplined. The Democrats are not disciplined then or now.
Yeah, it would seem like there's just such a big difference between the Democratic contenders. Just Biden and Sanders are totally, totally different in personalities.
Yes.
Biden being pretty laid back. Warren, we talked about her being a loudmouth. Pete is somewhat laid back, but if he has something to say, he'll say it. Still seems a bit wishy-washy on some issues, but he certainly is smart. And maybe we need somebody who's really cerebral, who's very book smart, like Pete. And Trump,
yes,
not really book smart, but he certainly is street smart. I mean, we probably need both. But does that candidate exist? I would, you know, Warren, I would say, is street smart and book smart, and that is an attractive quality about her. And I would say Harris is, to an extent, also. But
She's faltering. She's not doing very well at all. Harris.
Again, with that, and it's almost like when John Kerry ran. He lost because the Democrats put forth a weak candidate. And I'm almost seeing Biden as being in that same situation. I mean, who knows? We're very happy.
So we really need a Howard Dean that can stop screeching. He was the front runner in 2004, and then he lost it because he screeched after the first victory. And after that, he fell apart, and Kerry came in. He was far ahead in the beginning, Vermont Governor Howard Dean. But I'm wondering, can we find someone that will replace, like, I think Pete could be the one, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens in polls and what happens in the first caucuses, primaries.
Jimmy Carter was someone, you know, you had the magazine cover, Jimmy Who. And although he was the governor,
yes,
of a well-known state, Georgia, and a well-known businessman in that area, he wasn't known outside of Georgia. And if you were even in Ohio, you'd not heard of the guy.
And also, he was known as Jimmy, not James, like Buchanan or Monroe or Madison. I remember saying, Jimmy? What do you mean, Jimmy? That's a nickname, but that's how he preferred to be known. And that's how he signed his documents as president.
Well, Bill and Peter nicknames, so some of these presidents.
Yeah, and Bill Clinton never said William,
yeah,
like William McKinley, so that's true, yeah.
So it just depends, you know. And Richard Nixon, the people kind of called him Dick Nixon or Tricky Dicky, but he always went by Richard, so I think,
yes,
those nicknames were bestowed upon him by the public, not by Mr. Nixon himself.
Yeah.
So in your blog from September 24th, again, theprogressiveprofessor.com, time for Republican senators to be held to account. Are they for good of nation and constitution or party and self-interest? And again, are they looking out for their own rear end, so to speak, or Do they want to do the right thing?
Want to do it as long as they don't have to give their names out, is what I read. The problem is they're going to be held to account. It will not convict them, is clear, but they're going to be maybe judged, and some of these senators are going to have to face election, and it could hurt them. So I think it's a big problem for them. They'd rather not have an impeachment trial.
The series of escalating events surrounding Donald Trump's abuse of power and a legion of impeachable offenses is even worse now, with the revelation that Trump was pressuring the government of Ukraine to investigate former VP Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, who was involved in business dealings with a Ukrainian company. Again, isn't that kind of the pot calling the kettle black, that Donald is
yes, it is
kind of in cahoots or collusion with Ukraine, but he's investigating what the son of a vice president was doing in business dealings, and that's his right to have business dealings with a Ukrainian company. So what? I don't even understand what the problem is. And
well, he's trying to find something to weaken Joe Biden, like he worked to weaken Hillary Clinton. That's what he sees him as a threat. That's the whole point. If he didn't see Joe Biden as a threat, Trump would not have gotten involved in this. Then he tried to cover it up also when he got others involved, where he says, oh, you got to talk to Mike about it. He's bringing up names of all these other people, Pence and also the Attorney General, and I'm saying, why are you doing this from your perspective? Keep your mouth shut. He cannot shut up.
Yeah, and something we thought about when Donald Trump was elected, eventually is his mouth going to put him into such a hole that he won't be able to dig out of it?
And Twitter also, you can't stop him from being on Twitter, but Twitter is actually going to be his downfall, I think.
It seems like whenever he does run his mouth, or he does tweet something which he probably shouldn't have, he finds a way to dig himself out of that hole. And this is, again, someone who's declared bankruptcies and had some very likely shady business dealings. He always manages to come through. And it seems like he does the same thing as president. Now, as a politician, that is something you have to do. Even the best politicians are going to have to dig themselves out of a hole. And we had the Pocahontas thing with Elizabeth Warren. That's an example. And something that again, was more humorous than serious, like this Ukraine.
Not a nice thing
issue
to call her, because he did that in front of Native Americans. He made fun of calling her Pocahontas. They looked at him. I mean, at a Native American conference, you don't do that. That's racist to do that, and particularly in front of people of the same background. But he has no filter.
And we wonder, relatively speaking, do things that people like Elizabeth Warren say, they pale in comparison to some of the stuff that Donald Trump has done. Now, we've discussed, Ron, that when a president is in office, that he cannot be prosecuted. And if Donald Trump were to leave office and Mike Pence were to be president, what would he do? Would he pardon
Probably
Trump?
He would pardon. He would probably not win the election, but he probably would do what Gerald Ford did for Nixon. I don't think he would allow him to be prosecuted, even though he might not even like him, because apparently Mrs. Pence, we're now learning, was shocked by that tape in 2016, really disgusted, you know, with what he was saying, you know, about how he can grab anybody in there, you know what, and all that. And apparently he thought Mike Pence of dropping out, but it was too late in the race to drop out. But I don't think he's going to – I think he's going to feel that he has to pardon him. I would think that's what he would do. And he couldn't stop him. He could do it.
But doesn't this Ukrainian issue, plus everything else Donald Trump has done wrong, and the emoluments being the big one, doesn't that pale in comparison to Watergate? Or is it almost like the president's immune to being prosecuted? Will future presidents think, well, Donald Trump did that, Richard Nixon did that, Bill Clinton had sex with his intern under his desk.
So
as president, I'm infallible.
Deal, you know, yes.
Are future presidents going to think, I'm infallible, or do we need to draw the line and say, enough is enough? Yes, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I think it's time to do that. And honestly, there's some people who say, just impeach him on the one issue of Ukraine. No, I think it's got to be broader. But having a debate with people on Facebook who say, just get him out, at least get him impeached so it'll ruin him for the election. I really think it needs to be more than just one issue. It needs to be these other broad issues so we don't have abuse of power that any president could think he can get away with this.
So we do need to draw the line and understand that.
I think so.
Yes.
I think you agree. Shoot.
It wasn't cool that Bill Clinton lied about taking his pants off and fooling around with an intern, but that is legal. no one was underage. Yes, he lied about it, which wasn't cool. It was very unpresidential.
And he's a married man. Trump has done.
But, and Richard Nixon, well, was Nixon the mastermind behind Watergate? Probably not, but he certainly condoned what his friends did. And that's not cool. He is guilty by association. But Trump, is he the mastermind behind these Eastern European scandals? The emoluments clause, he certainly is the mastermind because it's his companies. So in this case, we need to put our foot down because I don't think that a future president should take office and say, well, I can do anything I want. I'm king and I can never get prosecuted. I can never do anything wrong. Even if I do, I'll just get pardoned. And we need to understand.
That's the problem. I want to point out Lindsey Graham. I have a meme here from Facebook. 2019, he says, wow, impeachment over this? What a nothing burger. Democrats have lost their minds when it comes to President Trump. But in 1999, he said about Clinton, you don't even have to be convicted of a crime to lose your job in this republic if this body determines that your conduct as a public official is clearly out of bounds in your role. Impeachment is about restoring honor and integrity to the office. So he's totally changed his view now, Lindsey Graham.
Do we think maybe need to change the impeachment laws? I mean, that might require rewriting the Constitution. But is the impeachment process just too lenient? Is it written in a way where it's almost impossible ever to impeach somebody because of all the people?
You can impeach. We have done that. But you can't convict. That's the issue. Bill Clinton, we're impeached.
Yeah, I mean, impeached is irrelevant if the person isn't convicted. I mean, look at Clinton. I remember reading the paper and it said, you know, back when people read the newspaper instead of looking on CNN.com or on the internet or Twitter, President Clinton impeached. I said, oh, okay, that means he's not going to be president anymore. Then I read, no, that isn't the case. And it wasn't confirmed. So it's like they wasted all this time impeaching him, but they couldn't follow through. So what's the point of wasting all this time?
But they did it anyway for political reasons. Yeah.
But isn't that dumb? Don't we have enough problems? Healthcare, crime, drugs?
Yeah,
things that we should be concentrating
on. The problem
on.
Is, if we were to change the Constitution and say a majority vote could get him out, then we would probably have too many presidents kicked out of office. You don't want to make it too easy by conviction, but it's too tough right now with 2/3.
But we would agree that the impeachment procedure is pretty much a joke because it's the logistics are such that no one would ever logically ever get impeached.
No, again, they would be impeached but not convicted.
Right, well,
again, we have had impeachment.
Yeah, I mean impeached and removed from office.
Not removed, but they could certainly be impeached. That's the easy part, just the majority. And I think that's going to happen in the next couple of months.
But that's just symbolic. And now we have Clinton, you know, and I still think he's one of the best presidents in my lifetime. Yes, there are things about him I don't like, but economically he was great. He was a moderate, if not a bit conservative, as an economic person. I think he handles some difficult situations fairly well. And again, he is only human. That's not an excuse. But it certainly seems like something he did. And granted, more than half of people cheat on their spouses anyway. That wasn't presidential. It was immature. And he lied about it. Doesn't really seem that major compared to some other things that the presidents have done. And where do we draw that line?
And that's the problem, and it's all just politics. Whoever you know wants to attack a president, the other party, they do it. But it's not always the same situation that justifies it.
I mean, we read about governors, mayors, police chiefs getting arrested. I mean, how many governors of Illinois have gone to jail, or Blagojevich, whatever his name is?
How many?
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, so it happens. I just don't understand, Ron, why, and I agree, Blagojevich should have gone to jail. He was a crook. I mean, we have police chiefs. We have multiple people in high political office, but it's like the president can do nothing wrong. And that to me is hypocritical, and I think it does need to change.
Yes, but I don't know how to do it constitutionally. It's going to be very hard to get an amendment. That's what you would have to do, have an amendment. 2/3 vote of each House and 38 state legislatures. I don't think it's going to happen. So we're stuck, and we're going to have presidents taking advantage of that. But that's why the least we have to do is impeach him, even though he can't be removed, as a lesson for history, but it doesn't guarantee the future.
But you would agree that we need a better system where it just seems like it is very easy, relatively, to remove and imprison a governor, police chief, mayor, And again, if you're not a criminal when you're in those positions, it's not a problem. But police chief, for goodness sakes, you talk about hypocrisy. It just scares me to think that a police chief could go to jail. But it happens. Seems like it happens every day.
Look at Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He got pardoned without even being convicted, which is very rare. The president doesn't pardon someone who hasn't been convicted. So, I mean, that's a special case. But then he made a good impression on Scott Spears, didn't he?
Yeah, he's very well-spoken. Yeah. Again, you never think he was as old as he is. So,
88. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Love him or hate him, he's well-spoken. You know what he has to say, and form your own opinion.
He doesn't stutter.
Yeah, he is certainly a person with a strong personality, and one that will elicit comments and opinion, and form your own assessment of the gentleman.
You know, it's interesting. He's married like 62 years with that strong personality. They're still married. I think that's impressive.
Yes, very much so. But that this 25th Amendment, where Mike Pence could say, "Well, Donald Trump is not qualified," is a danger.
With the majority of the cabinet backing him, he can't do it on his own.
That might be a more likely way for Trump to be removed. But it seems like those two are in cahoots. I mean, that Pence is a yes man. That is also unlikely.
Yeah, I think Mrs. Pence doesn't care for him, but her husband works for him, and so she wants her husband to be successful. So it puts her in a bind, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation, but again, it has stimulated interest in this great country. People are reading the news more. I know that I am. And this election will be a wild and woolly one. It's more than a year away.
Yes, it will.
And it already is, although the primaries are coming up. Just in
and
a
I'm
few
sure
months.
There's quite a few well-known writers who already are starting to start the early edition of what they're going to write as the chronicle of what happens. Yeah,
but it's a good, exciting time to be alive. Let's put it that way.
Yes, it is.
Well, Ron,
and it's always a great time, you know, chatting with you and discussing what's going on. It's always a great amount of fun.
Yeah, we thank you again, Ron, for being with us on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. And as is usually the case, time flies when you are having fun. It is always a fun and stimulating conversation. Can you maybe give us a preview of some of the blogs you're going to write as we start the month of October?
Well, I'm going to be writing about Carter, of course, in the next day or so, about his birthday. And I'm going to probably give a preview of some of what I'm going to write in the History News Network article, not all of it, about Carter, and I'm going to be talking about the impeachment situation and how it's developing and how Nancy Pelosi's handling it. Some people think she's done a terrible job. Others think she's brilliant the way she's running it. So she's very much a person who has people criticize her on the left and criticize her on the right, and she's in the middle, and probably that's not a bad place to be.
Well, that sounds like some interesting reading. Again, folks, theprogressiveprofessor.com, brain-stimulating, thought-provoking, and certainly controversial at times.
And also History News Network under Ronald L. Fineman as well.
Ron, we hope you have a great October. Only 3 months left to 2019 before the tumultuous election year, leap year of
I can't believe how fast time is flying.
That'll certainly be a good one. I remind listeners also that the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, last week spoke with Sam Donaldson and Eleanor Clift, as is to be expected. Both conversations were interesting ones, Sam Donaldson especially. Not a gentleman to shy away from his opinions. And
Sam Donaldson, he's an old guy, too. He's in his 80s.
Yeah, he sounds good, though. Ron, we will speak to you again for our first show in October, October 7th, which actually is my sister's birthday. She's celebrating a milestone birthday. We'll talk to you on October 7th. As we do just about every Monday. And I wish you a great rest of your day. Thanks for being with us on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor.